Welcome to a world of myths and legends. I'm Aura Rose, and I will be your host. Every corner of the earth has its own myths and legends, stories that have been passed down through the generations, hundreds, even thousands of years in the making, derived from a time before written word when warnings, omens, and tales of heroes and villains were shared by word of mouth through storytelling. I love this world where the impossible to believe might actually have been possible, and I would like to introduce you to it. Join me for this series of podcasts as I share with you the characters, myths, and legends of the world we live in. Nowhere in the 19th century did interest in folklore and mythology have a more thorough revival than in Ireland. There, in 1887, Lady Francesca Speranza Wilde, Oscar Wilde's mother and a well-known author in her own right, compiled a collection of charming authentic folktales. Over the next couple of episodes, I will read to you some of these myths, legends, and superstitions. Keep in mind that Lady Wilde made this collection in 1887, more than 126 years ago, as you listen to the stories told in her words. And now, without further delay, I bring to you from Ireland, Episode 1, The Dead. There are many strange superstitions concerning the dead. The people seem to believe in their actual presence, though unseen, and to have a great fear and dread of their fatal and mysterious power. If a person of doubtful character dies, too bad for heaven and too good for hell, they imagine his soul is sent back to earth and obliged to obey the order of some person who bids him remain in a particular place until the day of judgment, or until another soul is found willing to meet him there, and then they may both pass into heaven together, absolved. An incident is related that happened in the County Galloway concerning this superstition. A gentleman of rank and fortune, but of a free and dissipated life, became the lover of a pretty girl, one of the tenant's daughters. And the girl was so devoted to him that perhaps he might have married her at last, but he was killed suddenly when out hunting by a fall from his horse. Some time after, the girl, coming home late one evening, met the ghost of her lover at a very lonesome part of the road. The form was the same as when living, but it had no eyes. The girl crossed herself, on which the ghost disappeared. Again she met the same apparition at night, and a third time, when the ghost stood right before her in the path, so she could not pass. Then she spoke, and asked in the name of God and the good angels why he appeared to her. And he answered that he could not rest in his grave till he had received some command from her, which he was bound to obey. "Then," she said, "go stand at the gate of heaven till judgment day, and look in at the blessed dead on their thrones, but you may not enter. This is my judgment on your soul." On this, the ghost sighed deeply and vanished, and was seen no more. But the girl prayed earnestly that she soon might meet her lover at the gate of heaven, whither she had sent him, that so both may enter into the blessed land. And thus it happened, for by that day year she was carried to her grave in the churchyard, but her soul went forth to meet her lover, where he waited for her by the gate of heaven, and through her love he was absolved and permitted to enter within the gate before judgment day. And now a series of superstitions. It was considered disrespectful to the dead to take a shortcut when carrying the coffin to the grave. In the islands, when a person is dying, they place 12 lighted rushes around the bed. This, they say, is to prevent the devil coming for the soul, for nothing evil can pass a circle of fire. They also forbid crying for the dead until 3 hours have passed, lest the wail of the mourner should waken the dogs who are waiting to devour the souls of men before they can reach the throne of God. It is a very general custom during some nights after a death to leave food outside the house, a griddle cake or a dish of potatoes. If it is gone in the morning, the spirits must have taken it, for no human being would touch the food left for the dead. The great and old families of Ireland considered it right to be buried with their kindred, and are brought from any distance, however remote, to be laid in the ancient graveyard of the race. A young man of family, having died far away from fever, it was thought advisable not to bring him home, but to bury him where he had died. However, on the night of the funeral, a phantom hearse with four black horses stopped at the churchyard. Some men then entered with spades and shovels and dug a grave, after which the hearse drove away. But the next morning no sign of the grave was to be found, except a long line marked out the length of a man's grave. It is unlucky and a bad omen to carry fire out of a house where anyone is ill. A gentleman one day stopped at a cabin to get a light for his cigar, and having wished good morning in the usual friendly fashion, he took a stick from the fire, blew it into a blaze, and was walking away, when the woman of the house rose up fiercely and told him it was an evil thing to take fire away when her husband was dying. On looking round, he saw a wretched skeleton lying on a bed of straw. So he flung back the stick at once and fled from the place, leaving his blessing in the form of a silver offering to neutralize the evil of the abducted fire. After the priest has left a dying person and confession has been made, all the family kneel around the bed reciting the litany for the dying, and holy water is sprinkled over the room until the soul departs. Then they all rise and begin the mournful death wail in a loud voice, and by this cry all the people in the village know the exact moment of the death, and each one that hears it utters a prayer for the departing soul. At a wake, the corpse is often dressed in the habit of a religious order. A cross is placed in the hands and the scapular on the breast. Candles are lighted all around in a circle, and the friends and relatives arrange themselves in due order, the nearest kin being at the head. At intervals they all stand up and intone the death wail, rocking back and forward over the dead and reciting his virtues, while the widow and the orphans frequently salute the corpse with endearing epithets and recall the happy days they spent together. When the coffin is borne to a grave, each person presents help to carry it a little way, for this is considered a mode of showing honor to the dead. The nearest relative takes the front handles first. Then, after a little while, they move to the back, and others take their place, until every person in turn has borne the head of the coffin to the grave, for it would be dishonorable to the dead to omit this mark of respect. And this concludes episode 1, The Dead. Be with me for episode 2, when we talk about she or the people of the mounds. Thank you. This is R. Rose.